Welcome to the Reality Revolution. I'm your host, Brian Scott. I've been really excited to see that people have been really enjoying the Psychiana series. At first, I think people didn't like it as much, but it's grown in popularity and I've gotten several messages about it, which makes me very happy. It has been very uplifting to me and I've learned a lot in such simple lessons in the way that he taught so many years ago. Today, we go to Lesson 16, which I'll call Unseen Forces. Dr. Frank B. Robinson begins by saying, "Dear friend and student, this lesson number 16 gives you, if you can grasp it, a faint glimpse of one of the most remarkable scientific truths ever discovered. We do not know the last thing about creation yet, nor has the last discovery been made. You may depend upon one thing, though. And that is that when the full knowledge of spiritual law and the scheme of creation is known, it will be found to be enveloped in laws which, although not recognized now, are in existence now and are perfectly natural laws. It will be good for you to study this lesson many times, and I am asking you to do just this. Sincerely, your friend and teacher, Frank B. Robinson." It is a well-known scientific fact that in the last analysis, everything material in existence is nothing more or less than particles of electrical energy called electrons and protons. These little energy balls, if I may use that word, comprise every created thing, and it is scientifically correct to state that so far as is now known, the most minute particles into which matter can be divided is into these electrical protons and electrons. You may take the very hardest piece of steel, and in that piece of steel, the electrons are chasing themselves around at the speed of an express train. This does not appear, of course, to the physical eye, but it is a known fact just the same. This was perhaps the most important scientific discovery ever made, and certainly it bears me out in my understanding and teaching of the God law. Without the least thought of pride on my part, let me state here that I have had in print practically the same theories that the scientific world is making now, and have had them in print long before the scientists even thought of them. I gave an instance of this in a former lesson in this course. Now I shall give you another instance. My clipping bureau sends me this morning a newspaper clipping dated February 27, 1932. It is headed in large type, "Find Embryonic Form of Matter." Then under this large heading is a subheading which states, "Discovery of Neutron Hailed as Possibly Greatest Since the X-Ray." Then there's another large heading under which states, "New Evolution Clue. Ultimate particle in nature is said to have unknown powers of penetration." Then follows the article, which I reproduce here in full and verbatim, giving credit, of course, to the Associated Press, which organization released this report. Here it is. Read it carefully and think about what I have been teaching you in the light of this latest scientific thinking. It will show you whether or not I know what I am talking about in this great spiritual realm of the God law. Baltimore, February 27th. The discovery in Cavendish Laboratory, Cambridge University, London, by James Chadwick, of the neutron, a particle so minute it carries no electrical charge, and hailed as the greatest find in the scientific world since the electron, the proton, and the X-ray, was announced today by the Baltimore Sun in a dispatch from the Manchester Guardian. Have no wavelength. The neutron was described as one of the ultimate particles in nature, so tiny it would take 200 gajillion, billion gajillion, to make a mass weighing an ounce. Neutrons are not waves, the dispatch said, but particles. But they have as particles hitherto unknown powers of penetration. In the realm of astronomy and the evolution of the universe, neutrons are of fundamental importance, representing the first step in the evolution of matter out of primeval electrons and protons, the paper said. Embryo of matter. The ultimate substance of the world is electricity, and the simplest element built of electricity is helium. The neutron is halfway between electricity and helium. It is the embryonic form of ordinary matter growing but not born. Neutrons are so penetrative and elusive because they have no electric charge. The neutron is composed of a proton and an electron bound closely together. It is speculated the neutron may be the unit of magnetism, for it is presumably a doublet, as magnets are, with both a north and south pole, the dispatch continued. Find of first importance. Physicists at Johns Hopkins University, when told of the discovery, hailed the achievement as one of first importance. Dr. Joseph Ames, president of the university, said the discovery, if substantiated, is worth all the importance attributed to it. Chadwick is a physicist of high repute, and Rutherford, Chadwick's superior, would let nothing go out of his laboratory without its having been carefully checked and tested. Dr. Ames was a physicist before assuming the presidency of Johns Hopkins. While this is, of course, going into the realm of physics at some depth, I think that all of my students will see the principle behind it all, and will know by this time that the important and controlling forces of this universe are spiritual or unseen forces. This is exactly what I have claimed, and what I still claim. As the months and the years go by, science is continually bringing forth facts that prove that there is a law behind every created thing. They are showing in a very unmistakable way that nothing ever happens by chance. There is no chance in the universe. All is governed by immutable law, and naturally this law, which was and still is the original creative force of the universe, must be alluded to as God, if one cares to have the God idea at all. I'm not so sure that the God idea is any too logical, but we have it here, and perhaps for the time being it will be as well to argue from the premise that the idea is logical. To me, however, I care nothing for any idea of God in quotation marks that removes him from me here and now. I want to know nothing of any theories and creeds and dogmas, for there isn't a word of truth in any of them. They are all man-made, and they all will die the death that anything man-made dies. I'm only interested in the great spiritual, cosmic, unseen force, or spirit, or power, behind this marvelous scheme of things. For it is indeed a very marvelous scheme of things. Furthermore, there is an astounding spiritual God law behind it all. These scientists and physicists are fast finding that out. It is now the acknowledged and stated opinion of the realm of scientists that the unseen forces of nature are the forces of causation. Were there no unseen spiritual forces existent, then nothing material could or would exist at all. And now science comes along and tells us that it has discovered a thing called a neutron, which thing is so small that it would take 200 with so many zeros, I can't read it all, of them to make an ounce in weight. Up to the time of the above announcement, the electron and the proton were the smallest known ingredient of matter, and these two were electrical waves of energy. Now we have the neutron, which is not electrical, and which possesses almost unknown powers of penetration. Think that over for a little while, for if this isn't getting down to the basic facts, then I don't know what it is. I have consistently claimed that one scientific fact is worth a ton of old religious tradition, and I make that claim more forcibly now than I have ever made it before. And you may depend upon it, my friend, that if the men delving and pioneering into the realms of both science and psychology do not give us the answer to the entire problem, the preachers never will. For all they have to go on is blind belief. And again, I state that blind belief is unscientific, for to ask a man to believe something that his reason cannot understand is asking that man to perform a physical and mental impossibility. Thousands of people say They really believed that the great God of this universe sent a 1/3 part of himself down from heaven to earth to die a horrible death in order that those who believe this story might inherit eternal life. But as a matter of fact, not one of them really believes that, for it is an impossibility for a normal thinking mind to believe anything as irrational as that story is. If the man really does believe it, then I should class such a one as being not at all normal. Furthermore, such a one would be capable of inflicting similar cruelties on others. We have an example of that going on in the world today. Here in the East is a military mad nation. Their religion teaches them that if they die in battle, that they are assured of heaven. Imbued with the spirit of this lie, they fight like madmen in order to make sure of heaven. You see, any supernaturally revealed religion cannot be very good for anyone, for most anything might happen in the realm of the supernatural. However, thinking people, possessing reasonable minds, have just about discarded all that sort of twaddle, and they are looking to nature, and to nature's God, for the answer. And they are slowly but surely finding it, for it is only reasonable to suppose that in life itself is to be found the answer to the riddle of life. It is very cowardly and is in itself an evidence of shiftlessness to state that we cannot know here but must wait till we die before anything concerning the realm of God can be discovered. The soul that has found something of the existence of the mighty life spirit knows and knows full well that there is plenty of power, plenty of wisdom, plenty of intelligence right here on this earth and wrapped up in a human soul, if you please, to answer whatever questions may arise regarding this life we are living. Whenever and wherever a man or woman is in harmony with the God law, then there always follows a completeness of every good thing. If the body is sound and the thought realm in tune with the great cosmic intelligence, then that man or woman accomplishes wonders. Too many of us, however, look upon the good things of life as the exceptions, whereas they should be the natural thing. It is natural, divinely natural for you to have a strong physical body. It is also divinely natural for you to be successful in everything you undertake. It is divinely natural for you to be supremely happy, and you may depend upon it that you will be whenever you come into conscious relation to the unseen, but very potent and vital power of the God law. The power exists. It exists now. It exists for you. The only thing for you to make up your mind about is whether or not you will throw yourself unreservedly into the ocean of love and power provided for you through the existence of the Spirit of God, the God law of the universe. If you will do that, nothing good will be impossible to you. There can be nothing you need that the God law cannot provide. For the law actually works. It is here for that purpose. It is a spiritual law, and therefore an unseen law, and is far higher than any earthly law you have ever had anything to do with. Think of it. In the ether all around you, there is a thinking substance which we know is cosmic or spiritual in its origin. From this unseen cosmic realm came everything physical or material in the universe. You came from the first great cosmic cause. You are a living demonstration that this mighty power exists. You are a part of this cosmic God law. So why should you be afraid? Why should you say that good things of life are for others and not for you? You delude yourself, my friend. True, you have been taught that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. But don't you believe it? there will never be any bar of God before which you will be required to stand and give an account of the deeds done in the body. That is pagan superstition. The answer to the human desire for life is life. And I do not believe that life can ever come through death. Life is here, now. You have it. It comes to you from the Spirit of Life, which Spirit is not in the heavens, but is all around you. When the time comes in which men and women understand just a little bit of the beauties and the power of the spiritual realm of God, then will the answer to this question of life and death be known? I believe the world to be on the verge of this answer. Let no one misunderstand me, please. I am no harebrained fanatic of any sort, meandering around in the hazy realm of metaphysics. I keep both feet solid on the floor at all times, but I know something of the spiritual realm, and I know something of the power of the living, creative life spirit. And what little I do know about the power suffices for me to make the statement I have just made. For spiritual law is so far above material law, although the same in essence, there can be not so much comparison. The law is the same. Man is different from what he was originally intended to be. But as time rolls on, and as men's hearts get away from baser material things of life, automatically they will look to the spiritual realm for the answer. And when enough of them do that, they will find the answer. In this matter of success and happiness and health, there is one angle of the law that I want you to be quite clear about. That is this: there is enough of the power of the spiritual God law to provide you with every good thing you need. That law exists. We know that. You, however, may not be using the law, and if such be the case, then your condition can never be other than it is now. You see that? In other words, the spiritual realm cannot benefit you until you use the power of the spiritual realm. The power is there, but it's useless to you unless you use it. The thing to do now, then, is to use this spiritual power for the manifestation of whatever things you need in life. You want to get to the other side of a river? Here's a boat starting out for the other side in a few moments now. You'll never get to the other side of that river standing there arguing about the boat. You'll never cross that river just by standing there and looking at the boat and wondering whether or not it will ever get to the other side. You must get on board of the boat. When that is done, you'll safely reach the other side. The same principle applies in the spiritual God realm. You may take these lessons of mine, which are lessons of many times proven power, and you may argue whether or not I know of what I'm speaking. You will never get anywhere by doing this, though. You may take these lessons, you may read them, and then you may compare them with someone else's lessons and see wherein they are different. And still, you will never contact the unseen spiritual power of God that way. That boat had been going over the river many a time, and yet you doubted as you stood on the shore whether or not it was good for one more trip. These lessons have benefited the lives of thousands, and they are certainly good for one more life. But you will have to get on board the boat. You will have to actually do as you have been told to do. And when you do that, you will find the power of the mighty life spirit true. You will find that I know so well of what I speak in the very moment you are willing to get in spiritual touch with the power of the mighty life spirit. But you can't just hope for it. You must grit your teeth, some of you, and with a bulldog determination that will not be defined, you must wrestle with yourself until you win the victory. You will find that there will come a time in your life in which you will come face to face with your doubting self. There will be a battle. If the doubting self wins the battle, you might just as well throw these lessons away, for they will do you no good whatsoever. But if the believing side wins, then jump for joy. For your faith in the living God law will bring you triumphant over every wrong and will set your feet on a path of spiritual travel which cannot but bring you to the things from the spiritual realm you need. Every so often, someone writes me stating that he would like to receive the lessons more frequently than once every 2 weeks. "There is nothing new to me in the lessons so far," writes one man. Another writes, "I'm quite an advanced student of scientific psychology, and therefore you must understand that your lessons are quite elementary to me. I meet quite a few of such mortals, and I am interested in watching their reaction when I advise them that the more they think they know of the spiritual realm, the less they actually do know. For one cannot approach this great unseen realm of the God law except as a child. I care not what this man has studied, nor do I care what that man has studied, nor do I care what academic degrees a man may have. All that means nothing. Academic degrees mean nothing. I can use several of them if I care to. The attitude that wins in the realm of the spirit is the attitude of childlike faith in the power of the mighty life spirit. That is the winning attitude. I love to read the beautiful parables of Luke, for although I know they are but perfectly anonymous writings and purely imaginary, still, the spiritual thread running through them is, to me, very beautiful. You may see nothing in them at all, and if this is your reaction, then I advise you not to ever read them. But to me, many of them are very beautiful. The other Gospels contain many good thoughts, but the parables of Luke are pregnant with a spiritual power that is easily recognizable by one spiritually attuned. Whenever I feel my need of special recognition of the power of the God realm in my own life, which is very often, I like to refer to the passage found in the Gospels where the Galilean carpenter forbade those who would drive the children away, saying, "Suffer or let the little children come near me, for the kingdom of heaven is made of such." And realizing to some extent the immense spiritual magnitude of the God law, I so often, and realizing how very small I am compared to its fullness, I very often adopt the attitude of a little child, for I really am nothing more than that. For everyone loves a child. They are so helpless and so sweet that we all love them. We want to help them. On the other hand, we are not at all in sympathy with those who know all, and we feel less inclined to offer assistance spiritually to those who would have us believe that they are just a little bit advanced in knowledge to the rest of their fellow men in the spiritual realm. Whenever I meet such a person or receive a letter from one of them telling me how far advanced they are in their spiritual life, I immediately put it down that such a one really knows practically nothing of the realm of God. For those who have experienced even a very little of the joys of the spiritual realm know that it is far too big a realm for them to understand to the full. You could not know all there is to know of the spiritual realm of God and live. I won't go into this here, though. I might be misunderstood, but you may depend upon it that the more you begin to learn of the realm of the God law, the more humble you will become before it. You will be staggered by its immensity. When you actually begin to know that this realm of God can and will and does care for your every need here and now, when you begin to only faintly recognize the fact that more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of, you would be only too willing to keep quiet and listen for the still small voice of God coming to you from the God realm. For this voice never leads astray. It never disappoints. It always brings the correct solution to every problem. It always guides aright. And you, my friend, no matter who or what you may be, can never make a mistake in throwing yourself wholly and unreservedly into the vast ocean of the spiritual power of the God law. Prayer, you ask me what a prayer is, and I shall tell you, prayer is not asking God for anything. Prayer is simply expressing the desire of your heart into the great spiritual realm of the God law, and then having faith enough to start the spiritual realm to work, actually bringing to you the things you need. That is prayer. That is the prayer that wins, and there is no other sort of prayer. Often, then comes to me a letter in which the writer tells me that he or she has been praying to God for a certain thing for years and years and years. The old story is that they never receive the thing they are praying for. Certainly not. God is an operating law. It is a condition of that law's operation that to ask is to receive. Why? Because the petition and thing itself are one and the same thing in the realm of God. In the infinite wisdom of the creative intelligence, it has been so ordained that the answer to prayer always comes immutable and with no effort on anyone's part than your own. The law is there, it works, it is God. And any failure to obtain the things you need from the great master life spirit is not failure on the part of the God law, but failure on your part. And there can be only one cause of such failure. That cause is doubt. It is the snake that the old allegory symbolizes in the allegory of creation, as the Bible gives it. It is yet, and it has ever been, the only thing standing in the way of the operation of the immutable, unchangeable law of God. You cannot fail and use the God law at the same time. It would be an utter impossibility. It would be quite paradoxical. You cannot use power and still have nothing. You cannot live in harmony with the God law and be a failure. The cards do not lie that way. You cannot fall into the Pacific Ocean without getting wet. Neither can you fall into the ocean of love and power of God without getting this love and power all over you. It beats down every enemy. It defeats every disaster. It covers you with a spiritual power and intelligence that you probably cannot understand. It watches over every step you take. It guides those steps, always aright. It exercises over you a magnetic charm and spiritual attraction, which very effectively keeps you from harm. It fills your life with happiness, with wealth, and with success. And the reason it does these things is because this spiritual power is God. And in due time, and through a bitter period of evolution, the world will know that it is God. There will have to be several serious cataclysms before that day of the fullness of the knowledge of God dawns universally on the earth. But there are those who have had a foretaste of the beauties of that power now. There is always a remnant remaining, which remnant have an undying faith in the spiritual law of God. There will ever be found those who are gifted sufficiently to peer ahead through the clouds of the future and get a tiny little glimpse of what is to be. And this world will universally know God, and before too long, I am afraid that blood must run red throughout the universe first. I hope not. I trust that this appreciation of the literal presence of God can be made known universally without that, but I am afraid not. Personally, I look for the future to bring forth a calamity the like of which this already blood-bathed world has never before seen. I hope I am all wrong, but as I receive light and inspiration from the realm of God, I think I see that a little way ahead of us, for every race of men in existence is looking to the sky for their God. They all have a supernatural God and supernaturally revealed religion. And there never was either a supernatural God or a supernatural system of religion yet that was true. Never were they true. And this is where men and countries and nations are missing the goal. Peace conferences are futile. And while I am heartily behind any and all movements for peace, I am afraid that national and universal peace will not be secured as long as there are so many different nations preparing for war and all of them looking to their God for assistance. The nations haven't yet learned the foolishness and the farce of it all, though. But they will learn. I only hope it's a bloodless learning, for it is not. Then let's have the learning period over, and let's come quickly to the day when the lion shall lie down with the lamb and a little child shall lead them. That day will come, It is around the corner. The nations may err and stumble many times going around that corner. Let us hope not. But they may. I am wondering perhaps a little bit here. But these things are all so pertinent to our studies that I must mention them in passing. I must call the attention of my students to the fact the only thing in the world that matters now is the actual presence on this earth of the greatest spiritual power the old world has ever known. What a pity that their eyes are so blinded that they cannot see it. But the spiritual always triumphs over the material, and in the last analysis, when Earth's last picture is painted, it will perhaps be discovered that the spiritual will be all in all. It may be discovered that the eye which can behold the physical will close. Then will be the time when this great spiritual God law, along with every created being, will be one vast whole, complete, perfect, eternally happy and enjoying eternal life together, creator and created. In the meantime, what shall be the attitude of my students towards these times in which they live? They shall keep very close to the life spirit. I have in these lessons taught them to contact. Their whole life shall be a spiritual life, or a life in which the spiritual or unseen power of the spiritual realm absolutely rules. This will necessitate a quietness of heart, which will be quite refreshing, for I know of no peace like that coming to the soul that automatically lives in the power of the spiritual realm. This is not abnormal at all, neither is it the result of salvation or anything on that order. It is the normal condition in which ever man and woman should live. This is the power life. This is the life in which the unseen spiritual law assumes complete control. And when that happens, then there need be no worry over the material things of life, for they will all be provided. I care not what the circumstances may be. I know that in my own case, they were changed in pretty short order when I stepped out on the sure promises coming to me from the realm of the living God law. And they will be changed for you too when that time comes. I suspect that in your own individual case, this time has already arrived, and you are finding something of the power of the overwhelming spiritual God law in your life and circumstances. Happy man or happy woman, it but remains now for you to live continually in this power. If you have not been so sure that you have contacted it, then go through the exercises again, which were designed to show you how to find this mighty eternal spiritual realm. There will be some to whom the realization of this realm takes some time to manifest. Some are handicapped by circumstances, others by doubt, most of them by a little bit of doubt. But the overwhelming majority of my students will have grasped the vital and staggering truths this course of instruction has revealed to them. And from now on, their lives and their futures will be in their own hands. The more time given to the application of the God law in the human life, the greater will the results be. I realize, of course, that my students are in as many different circumstances as there are students. But remember that the spiritual God law works wherever there are circumstances. It is law and it is spiritual law. Therefore, it is just. It is right. It never fails. No matter who you may be and no matter what your circumstances may be, the spiritual God law will make you what you should be in those circumstances, or will change the circumstances. You may have a definite place in the spiritual scheme of things. It would not be complete without you. Therefore, allow the spiritual God law to show you where your place is. And this it will unerringly do whenever you keep in harmony with it. For all is one vast harmony. Seems as if there's a lot of discord in the world for sure, but in the fullness of time, it will be demonstrated that harmony shall come out of discord. Trust shall come out of doubt. Peace shall come out of turmoil, and plenty will take the place of want. Health will take the place of disease, and happiness, overwhelming happiness, will take the place of suffering, and sorrow. This will be universal. My students may know this mighty God law and these good things now. I shall ask you all to pay strict attention to this lesson until you receive the next one, for in that I am going to deal with a subject of vital importance to you all. Let the next 2 weeks be very quiet ones spiritually. Rest in the life spirit. Trust sweetly in the divinely natural God law. And above all, moment by moment, recognize your oneness with the great God. Realize the fact that you are a growth from God, if you understand what I mean. I am the vine, ye are the branches. That is true. The living God law is the vine, and you are definitely a part of this living God. Remember this. Almost every evening at 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, I sit for an hour or so at the console of my beautiful pipe organ. After a busy day's toil, I find much relaxation through so doing. It will help me quite a little if you care to, if you will direct your thoughts to me at that time. I love this vast family of students of mine all over the world, and I love them all. I shall never see most of them, but there's a very strong bond of friendship there, I assure you. And it might be that by turning your thoughts to me at this time, there may steal into your life a little of the peace of God. For remember, God works always through perfectly natural and human channels. It is more than likely that if you will think of me at this hour every evening, you may be benefited. I know I shall be. When thousands and tens of thousands of people all over the civilized world are directing their thoughts to me at the same hour every night, I shall receive added spiritual strength and power for this great work. You remember, a thought is a thing. It is a part of the God realm, and it is a living spiritual reality. In the realm of God, a thought may be likened to an actual messenger. So if you will not think I am imposing on you, may I ask you for my good as well as your own, to try directing your thought every evening for the next 2 weeks or longer to me. I in return am thinking of you. And this spiritual exercise has been the means of blessing many of my students. Don't forget a quiet, restful trust from now on until you receive your next lesson. Sincerely, your friend and teacher, Frank B. Robinson. Examination questions for lesson number 16. These examination questions are for your benefit, and you should know the answers to them all. If they are not clear to you, read your lesson again and again until they are clear. 1. What is the ultimate substance of the world? Its simplest element. 2. What are the most minute particles into which matter can be divided? 3. What are neutrons? Of what are they composed? 4. To find the power of the mighty life spirit true, more is required than merely to read the lessons and argue about them. 5. What is the attitude that wins in the realm of spirit? 6. The student can never make a mistake by throwing himself into the vast ocean of the spiritual power of the God law? 7. What is prayer? What is it that prevents prayers from being answered? 8. Why is it that men, countries, and nations are missing the goal of universal peace? 9. What is the only thing in the world that matters now? 10. If the student is not quite sure that he has already contacted the God law, what course is recommended? 11. What should be the student's attitude toward these times in which we live? And 12. How is the scriptural text, "I am the vine, ye are the branches," applied in this lesson? So that ends lesson 16, Unseen Forces, by Dr. Frank B. Robinson. And I found this to be quite different from many of the other lessons. It felt like after that last lesson, when he got us to the point where we tried to wait for that God experience, and I can't wait to hear about your experiences, if any of you in the last 2 weeks had that experience. I definitely felt like I had one. And it feels like he feels more free to talk about this stuff on another level. Felt like there's a sort of graduation. It starts to get more intense. this discussion of God and how to interact with this God law and what it is, talking about actual physics. I do believe that in his mind there was a physics to this law. The reason that he repeats the word law after God every time, he's trying to say that it's a specific pattern, a specific way of action and reaction, something automatic, and he's talking about it in a more specific way. So I do believe he is saying that, you know, in physics we'll eventually be able to see proof of God. And I do believe that eventually someday a physicist will figure out how to show God in physics. It's going to happen. There's going to be an interconnection that's going to be discovered. We're going to understand we're part of a neural network, a universal neural network. We're going to see it. It's so awesome and so perfect to understand. And there's going to be a time when it will be a universal truth that we'll understand. I believe that science will be able to prove everything at some point. But definitely let me know how it's going. And at 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, I will think of you. I will think of you. And I always do. And I'm sending love and all the beautiful, wonderful energies that I can think of to you, and hoping that you are having a wonderful day. And I can't wait to get to lesson 17. These get better and better. Love to know what you think about them and how it's been so far. Your testimony or stories that you might have had of your spiritual understandings that have been given from these lessons. In any case, you can find all episodes of The Reality Revolution at therealityrevolution.com. Check out the playlist in the description for all of the Psychiana lessons so far. And welcome to The Reality Revolution.